It is so very good to see all of you this morning. I'm looking out in the audience. I see we do have some people that are visiting with us. I think some of you may be visiting for the very first time. It is always our intention, always a desire to make those of you who are visiting feel welcome. As a matter of fact, we want you to feel so welcome that you will want to come back and hopefully worship with us again and study with us from the Word of God whenever you are able and willing to. Before I get into my sermon this morning, I was given an announcement that I was asked to announce. Wednesday evening after Bible study, if you are interested in going to the singing in West Irving, there's going to be a lot of the brethren that are going to be going that would like to meet so they can carpool together. And so if you are interested in going to that singing, just hang around Wednesday night after Bible study, and then we can all get together in caravan. For the last several weeks, I've been doing a series of lessons on where are we and where are we going. We've already had a lesson on where are we as a nation and where are we going. And then our sermon last week is where are we as a church, the Church of Christ today, and where are we going. And the sermon this morning is now bringing it home and looking at ourselves as a congregation. Where are we as the Lindell Church of Christ today, and where are we going? Our sermon is going to begin over in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 19. Here Jesus speaking to the church here says, I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And it's for your works the last are more than the first. I want you to notice the way the verse begins. I know your works. Jesus, who is the head of the church, knows everything that is going on in the local congregations of his church. He knows this congregation exactly the way we really are. And we need to be striving to as best as we possibly can to see ourselves the way we really are, the way the Lord sees us. In speaking about this congregation, he talks about their love, their service, their faith, and their patience. You need to realize that what the Lord wants us to do as Christians is strive as much as possible to see how close we can get to God in our personal relationship with God. And then motivated by our faith and our hope and our love and our relationship with God, do the works of the kingdom, doing the labor of the kingdom, being patient. The text in Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and Father. So you notice back here, he talks about in Revelation, works, love, service, faith, and patience. But here in Thessalonians, we see what is motivating the labor, the work, and the patience. And that is faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. So again, just basically at the very beginning, our goal here at the Lindell Church of Christ is to strive to learn to love God more and more and more. It's to strive to learn to love one another more and more. And motivated by our love for God, in turn, give ourselves over in service to God to do the work and labor of the kingdom, being patient in that labor and work and not quitting because of difficulties in the vineyard. Now, if you don't have a sermon outline, if you just take your Bible and turn to Thessalonians, we're going to be going through a lot of verses in Thessalonians. But at the very beginning here, what we're going to be doing is just taking time out to look at the Lindell Church of Christ, looking at ourselves as a congregation and where we are when it comes to our work and service and labor in the kingdom. In Ephesians 4:11 through 12, it says, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In the text here in Ephesians, we are seeing various works within the body of Christ that God has given to do the work of the kingdom. We talk about here in the text about there being pastors. If you don't know, pastors are elders. They're also known as shepherds and overseers. He's given some to be evangelists. These are ministers. He's given some to be teachers. And the work is so that the body of Christ can be edified, so the body of Christ can be strengthened and grow spiritually and numerically. We as the Lindell Church of Christ have two ministers, myself and Reagan McClinney. In the book of Timothy, you find in 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, where there are multitudes of verses that give the evangelist and the ministers exactly what their responsibilities are as preachers. I've only selected one verse here, From 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. It is my responsibility and Reagan's responsibility to preach to you the word of God. We are to spend time studying the word of God, putting together lessons to feed you spiritually with what the word of God says for you in your lives. It is not our responsibility to get up here and tell you cute stories. It is not our responsibility to get up here and tell you socialized stories of our culture and the world around us. It is our responsibility to tell you what the word of God says. To feed you the word of God. It is a blessing having Reagan with us. Watching him grow and develop as a minister, he's doing an outstanding job in the preaching of the word of God. If you will notice from the outline that I've given you this morning, on the outline, what you have are a bunch of scriptures. Sometimes I have preachers who want my outlines, and I give them my outlines, and they go, well, what do I say? All you've got is a bunch of scriptures written down. Exactly. It's about what the Word of God says. You take the Word of God and figure it out. You take the Word of God and you read it, and you can understand it, and you can make application on your own. So in all of my outlines, you'll find that basically what I give you is just a bunch of scriptures. Because it's my responsibility to do just that. To preach the word. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, in speaking to the elders here in Ephesus, it says, therefore take heed to yourself and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Did you remember back there in Ephesians, God also gave the body of Christ pastors, elders, shepherds, overseers. And here we see what their work is. They are to be feeding the flock of God, shepherding the church of God. We are most blessed here at the Lindo Church of Christ to have five men who are our elders. If you don't know who they are, it's Eugene McClinney, James McClinney, and Brother G.L. Carter, and Brother There's one of our deacons, Randy Patterson. And Matt Wright. I have been working with these elders now for 10 years. And when I say I'm working with them right up in the middle of the work with them, observing them. I'm not on the side watching them. I'm up beside them, working with them in the kingdom. And I got something I want to tell you about these elders. Not only are they qualified elders, but they are working elders. They are doing the work of the kingdom. It is so easy sometimes to take elders for granted. When everything is going smooth and you just come in and you worship, a lot of times you have no idea how much labor and effort is being done out there in the kingdom through the week so that we can come together and worship in peace. And worship in spirit and in truth. And worship in harmony and unity. A great deal of work takes place every week. Continuing talking about the elders in Hebrews. It says in chapter 13 verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls. As those who must give account unless they do so with joy. Do so with joy and not with grief. For that would be unprofitable for you. In the text here, we see one of the primary works that elders are doing. They're watching out for your souls. They're seeing to it that you're being fed the word of God. You're properly being fed. They're trying to protect the flock here from wolves that may be out there that would bring in false teachings that would lead you astray. But they also are watching out for your soul. How many of you that are members of this Lindo Church of Christ are aware that these men meet and they want to know, where is everybody? How is this brother doing? How is this sister doing? How are they doing physically? How are they doing emotionally? How are they doing spiritually? Where are they? What can we do to help them to grow and go forward? You don't know what a blessing it is to have elders like these five men that are actually doing the work. There are elders out there in other congregations that are just elders in name. They're figureheads. And they really don't do the work. As a consequence, congregations like that have wolves coming in, bringing all kinds of crazy ideas. The brethren are weak spiritually and are going astray, and many of them are dying spiritually. When you have people that care enough about you to come after you, to rebuke you if necessary, and even if necessary to withdraw from you because they love you, how many of you think it's fun to go into the mountains after the sheep? It's not. How many of you think it's fun to reprove or rebuke someone? It's not. How many of you think it's fun to withdraw from someone? It's not. Then why do it? I'll tell you why they do it. Because they love you and they love the Lord and they love the kingdom of the Lord. The scripture says we need to esteem them highly in love for their work's sake. I'm proud to say that I have the pleasure of working with five men who are honest to goodness, real elders. Another blessing of the Lindo Church of Christ is our deacons. 1 Timothy 3, chapter 3, verse 13 says, "For those who have served well as deacons obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus." We are most blessed, I believe, if I'm counting correctly, to have 9 deacons in this congregation. Bruce Armstrong, Kevin Fountain, Jonathan Helvey, Sherman Noble, Larry Patterson, Joe Rodriguez, Ben Shipley, Josh Stevens, and Ed Tacker. And again, these men are not deacons in name only. They are doing the work. And a lot of times you don't know the work they're doing because they don't stand up and say, "Hey, everybody, I'm doing this." They don't sound a trumpet to let everybody know all the actions that they're doing in the kingdom the same way the elders. They don't blow a trumpet and tell everybody, "This is what we're doing." And so a lot of times things are going on and labor and work is going on and service is going on that you may not even be aware of. But I guarantee you, we've got some awesome elders and deacons in this congregation that are doing the best they can with their abilities to do the work of the kingdom. Not only that, we have an awesome teaching core. In Romans 12 and 7 it says, "Our ministry, let us use it, and our ministering, he who teaches and teaching." A lot of times when I come up here to the building to do my studying in my office, invariably I'll come in and the teachers of the classroom, they're already here. And they're here throughout the week and they're laboring and they're working, preparing their classes. I know I'm probably a little prejudiced and favoritism here, but I'm just going to tell you something. I believe we've got the best teaching core of teachers in this congregation I've ever seen anywhere, who give it all they've got to put together good lessons that will spiritually feed even the young children all the way up to the teenagers and adults. They're doing the best they can to teach the Word of God. However, there are sometimes people that don't take advantage of this. Now, brethren, if you are a member of the Lindo Church of Christ, I want to encourage you. If you don't come to the Bible classes, you're missing out. You're missing out on one of the major works of the kingdom to feed you spiritually the Word of God. Now, how many of you, let's see, it's about 11:30 right now. How many of you between 12 and 1 o'clock are going to go home and eat? I am. How many of you are going to go home at 12 o'clock and say, "I think I'll skip it today"? And maybe tomorrow too. And maybe next week too. Well, no. You're not going to miss eating. Because you realize if I don't do this, I get weak physically and I don't get hungry. And I'll starve. I'll die. If you're not fed spiritually, you're going to start going backwards spiritually. For you to grow as a Christian, you need to feed upon the Word of God. If you want your children to be Christians, having their own personal faith, you need to bring them and let them be taught the Word of God, preparing the soul of their hearts in the classes, letting them grow in their knowledge of the Word of God. There are men and women who are giving it all they've got to put together good lessons to feed your children the Word of God. Bring them, and you come yourself, and feed on the Word of God, growing spiritually and growing in your knowledge of the Scriptures. Acts chapter 8, verse 4 says, "Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the Word." You see, not only are the elders and the deacons and the evangelists and the teachers responsible for teaching, every single one of you, every single member of this congregation is responsible for striving to take their knowledge of the Word of God and share it with other people in the world around them. Now, I realize, honestly, all of us maybe may not be doing that. If you're not telling people what you know about the Scriptures and the truth, I want to encourage you. Take time out to talk to people. Take time out to tell them the truth that you have come to learn. The truth about God and His great love for them. The truth about Jesus and what He did for them at Calvary. The truth about the gospel of Christ and how to become a Christian. The truth of the morals of Christianity. Tell them what you know. Share your faith and your knowledge of the truth with others in the world around you. One of the things I think I am so proud of is that we have some members in this congregation that aren't elders or deacons. They may not even be teaching classes. But they're out there in the vineyard, and they're laboring, and they're working, and they're sowing, and they're watering, and they're doing the best they can with what they've got where they are to bring in the harvest. It's over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8 now, where it says, "From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything." What we're striving to do here, basically, in this congregation, is get the word of God out there. Whether it's the evangelist and the ministers taking the word out there, or whether it's the elders or the deacons or the teachers, or every single member taking the word and just letting it go. Sowing the seed. Getting the seed out there into the ground, into the hearts and minds of people. The text here talks about how not only did they sound forth in Macedonia, but in Achaia, but in every place. One of the things, again, and one of the works that I'm so pleased that this congregation is involved in is the supporting of other preachers out there. Preachers in other parts of the world, preachers in other parts of the country. We financially support them so they can do the work in the Philippines or in Mexico or in other parts of the United States of America. There's another work that's going on that you may not be familiar with. They're putting together CDs and tapes up there right now. And there are deacons who take these CDs and tapes and mail them out all over the country. And they're brethren here. I'm not going to call you by name because I'm not going to embarrass you. But there are brethren here who get these CDs and these tapes and they mail them to people out there in the country. That is a great way to do the work. You're taking the seed and you're sowing it in your own way. And you need to realize there's harvest that comes from this. When all of us are doing the best we can to take the truth of Christ crucified and sow that seed out into the world, there will be a harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6 says, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." If all of us are doing the best we can to plant and to water and plant and water, it is God who will give the increase. All we are expected to do is sow the seed. To do the labor and the work and the service of the kingdom, motivated by our love for God and our love for our fellow human beings. And then there's another aspect of this congregation I would like to talk to you about. And that is those of us who feed upon the Word of God and how we receive it and how we respond to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you receive the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." I want to thank you as the Lindell Church of Christ for allowing me to preach to you what the word of God actually says. You know, that may sound kind of strange to you, but there are congregations out there in the brotherhood that after about a week or two, I would be fired. Because I would have the audacity to tell them what the Bible actually says. And they don't want to hear that. There are congregations out there that do not want to hear the Word of God because it condemns the way they live. Now this morning, I am sure You got up and looked in the mirror at some point in time because all of you look too good not to have done that. How many of you, when you looked in the mirror, said, no, that's not me. Everything's fine. Everything's okay. I'm going to keep on going as I am. No, you looked in the mirror and went, okay. How does it happen when you sleep? I'm not doing anything. But you wake up and you go, okay, got to start all over. My job is to hold up the spiritual mirror in front of you so that you can see how you really are spiritually. So that you can see the spiritual flaws in your character so that you can then deal with it. What kind of preacher would I be if I refused to hold up the spiritual mirror for you? What kind of congregation would you be if you said, don't tell us the truth about ourselves. Don't tell us what the Word of God says. It makes us look bad and feel bad. If some of you ever come to me and say, boy, you stomped all over my toes. Well, if I'm putting the Word out there, it's not me that's stomping on your toes. It's the Word that stomps on your toes. Because it's the Word that's going to show you where you really are spiritually. I'm just trying to hold the mirror steady so you can see yourself well. 1 Thessalonians again, chapter 1 and verse 6 says, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Again, there was one thing I would like to commend this congregation for. Generally speaking, you respond to the word. It is very frustrating to preach to a congregation, and there are congregations like this out there, where you can lay the word out there and it hits them square on the face and they go, yeah, that's interesting. Now I'm going to go live the way I want to live and do whatever I want to do. Who cares what it says? There are people like that who hear the word of God and could care less what it says. I want to commend you. Not only are we trying as best as we can to teach what the Word of God says, I believe generally speaking, the vast majority of us are striving to live it. We're striving to respond to what the Word of God says. To where when we see ourselves spiritually in the mirror of the Word of God and we realize what's wrong, we don't just close our eyes to it. We do the best we can to deal with it and repent of it. 2 Thessalonians again, now chapter 2, verse 15, says, therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which were taught, whether by word or our epistle. And the text here is talking about the Thessalonians holding on to the traditions and the teachings just like they were taught in the Word of God. I am so glad I can say this about this congregation. We're doing the best we can to hold on to New Testament Christianity the way it was taught in the Bible. We are striving to be organized the way the New Testament church is organized. We're striving to worship the way the New Testament church worshiped. We're striving to follow the morals of Christianity the way the New Testament church followed the morals of Christianity. This congregation is doing the very best we can by faith to follow pure, undiluted, real McCoy Christianity. Just simple Christianity in its purest form. We do not get pulled in to the traditions and teachings of people. 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 3 and verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you both that you do and will do the things we command you. How should I put this? If I didn't think this congregation would respond to the Word of God, I'd leave this week. So would Reagan. You need to realize, if we thought all we were going to do is get up here and tell you what the Word of God says, and everybody here would go, okay, so what? Then what's the point of preaching the Word if the people aren't going to do anything with it? But that's not the case. I've come to know you over the years. I know that nobody here is perfect, okay? I don't want you, those of you that are visiting, to go away thinking that, hey, those folks think they're perfect. No, we're not. Every single one of us here have our own issues and our own problems and our own spiritual battles and struggles and weaknesses. But we're willing to acknowledge where we are weak and we're willing to acknowledge what the Word of God says and realize that's the truth, and then we're doing the best we can to strive to be obedient to the will of God, to where we're willing to get up when we've fallen. We don't lay on the ground and go, well, that's just the way I am. No, we recognize where we are weak, and then we strive to repent, to move forward, to grow, to be more like Christ every day. If I didn't think you were that way, I would have never come here in the first place. And I sure wouldn't have stayed here for 10 years, and I wouldn't continue staying here. It is because I believe that you're sincerely striving to follow Christ that I count it a blessing to be a part of this congregation. And then there's another aspect of this congregation that you have to talk about. Again, in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. If you really don't get up in the middle, in the core of the work of this congregation, there's something you're missing out on. And that is the brethren. Who they are. As I told you, we're not perfect. But you're God's people. You're God's children. This is as close as we're going to get to heaven on this side. I want to encourage you to get to know one another. This congregation has got a lot of brethren who really love one another. A few weeks ago, it is one of the things I do, I'm the card sender during the holidays. In other words, I sit down and write out all the holiday cards. And I try to give one to all the members of the congregation. If you didn't get one, it's because I don't know your address or we couldn't find you during the services. But one of the things I did, and I'm so glad I did it, I sat down with the directory and I looked at the pictures of each and every one of you. And I thought about you. And I meditated on you for a while, and I thought, how is this person doing spiritually? How are they doing in their spiritual journey? Where are they? And I'm so glad I did that. Because I see so much growth in so many of you in the time that I've known you. And there's so many of you that whenever I would come to you, I would pitch you, I would go, man, that's an awesome Christian right there. And I would come over to Linda and I'd say, Melinda, these are just some awesome Christians, aren't they? I know you got tired of hearing that. Because I just kept saying it over and over and over and over. But you are. You are some of the finest Christian folks I have ever known in my life. And if you don't know this about this congregation and you are a member of it, something's wrong. And I would like to hope that you would realize that what is wrong is that unfortunately you're out there on the edges too much, on the periphery. And you're not taking the time out to get to know who your own brethren are. Sometimes you don't realize how much you are loved until you have to go through storms in life. And then in the middle of the storm that you're going through, you turn around and there's your brother and there's your sister and there's your spiritual family. And they're also behind you, praying for you, saying, what can we do to help you? And you realize, I'm not alone in my battles. I'm not alone in my struggles. There are people who actually love me, who are my brothers and sisters. One of the things I am most proud of this congregation is the brotherly love that actually does exist among you. 1 2 Thessalonians again, chapter 1 and verse 3 says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. As I said in the introduction, our goal every single day, every single year is this: to see if we can love each other more. It's good where we reach to as far as our relationship with each other. Now let's do better. Let's get to where we love God even more and love each other even more than we already do. Now, one way we can do this is if you are out there on the periphery, what I call a peripheral member of the congregation. If you know what that means, that means you really don't get involved much in the work and you really don't know the brethren that well, even though you come here. Now, if you're a new member, that's understandable. But if you've been here for years, I want to encourage you, come on up here amongst us. Come on here among us and be part of us. Come on up in here and get to know us. And work with us and labor with us and let us in where you are and come in where we are, letting our barriers down and trying to get to know one another better. I am most blessed at how close I am to so many of you that I know how fine you really are. And I just want all of the brethren to know all the brethren, because then you will begin to realize what I already know about you. How fine a Christian folks you really are. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore comfort each other and edify one another just as you also are doing. Again, all you got to do is be in a hospital. Have your wife have surgery on her foot. Or be sick. Or lose a loved one. Go through some kind of difficulty in life. And all of a sudden you're going to realize there's a lot of brethren that really love you. You're not alone. There are congregations out there, unfortunately, their only relationship is that they come to the assembly at the same time and they leave and have nothing to do with each other whatsoever. How sad. I'm glad to say that, generally speaking, that is not the Lindell Church of Christ. To the contrary, I believe you honestly love each other. Where are we going? Only got two verses for this. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 1 says, finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God. To abound more and more. That's where we're going. I believe we're going in the right direction. I believe we're doing the best we can to preach forth the Word of God, to sound forth the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, to feed you spiritually with what the Scriptures say. And I believe you are doing the best you can to hear it and respond to it. Let's get closer to God. Let's grow in our love for God. Let's grow in our faith. Let's grow in our hope. Let's see how close we can get to God. Let's abound more and more in that. I believe you actually love one another. Let's get closer. Let's abound more and more in brotherly love. I believe we're going in the right direction. Let's keep going even more so. What I believe is happening in the Lindell Church of Christ is a spiritual snowball. You know what a spiritual snowball is? And I'm not talking about out in the heat of the day. It's shrinking. I'm talking about the idea of a snowball going downhill. It's picking up momentum and is growing larger and larger. There are people who want to be a part of this Lindell congregation. Who come in, they worship with us, and they observe us, and they say, well, I want to be a part of this congregation. About every month, we announce someone else wanting to place membership at the Lindell Church of Christ. You know why? Because they see and they sense what's going on here, and they want to be a part of a congregation that loves the Lord and loves one another and is trying to follow and teach the truth. But another thing is happening. Not only are the older members of this congregation doing the best they can to get close to the Lord and be serious Christians, but even the young people. Do you realize how rare that is? Where you have actual young Christians who are seriously trying to follow the Lord? They're in this congregation. There are young Christians in this congregation, and they're not peripheral members. They're up in the middle, in the very core, doing the work of the kingdom. And they're dead serious about their faith and their religion. That is so refreshing. Because I know of congregations out there where you can go and there are no young Christians at all. Because they've all basically left. And there is no future of those congregations. Because after the older generation is dead, all they've got left is the building. If you don't know this about the Lindo Church of Christ, I'm going to tell you. There's a spiritual snowball going on here. God is giving the increase in this congregation. But the reason he's giving the increase is because of the service and the labor and the work that you are doing. You are doing. And because you actually love one another. That is where the growth comes. Is when you do the sowing of the seed, God gives the harvest. And there are people who want to be a part of us. And I take that as a great compliment. That people come here and worship with us and say, I want to be a part of this. That's much better than people saying, I won't ever go back there. And for those of you that are visiting this morning, we're dead serious when we say, we want you to come back, please. We hope you feel welcome. We want you to come back. We want you to come to know what this congregation is all about. And hopefully one day, be a part of us. Where are we going? 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Well, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Now, brethren, that's where we're going. We are going, hopefully, while we are here on this earth, to be abounding more and more in our love for God and our love for each other. But where it is that all of us, each and every one of us, are striving to get to is you and I in the presence of the Lord himself. To where we are standing face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. Face to face with God Almighty, our Father in heaven. And hearing from our Father, well done, good and faithful servant. That's where we're going. Why don't you go with us? Come on. Obey the gospel. Become a member of the body of Christ today. Have your sins forgiven. Become a Christian. And if you are willing to go forward by faith, become even a member of this congregation. And go forward in the kingdom together. And I tell you what my joy is going to be. My joy is one day, first of all, for me to be in the presence of the Lord, but then for me to look over and say, hey, Reagan, yeah, hello, Brother Carter, hey, Sandy, hey, Matt, to see you beside me in the presence of the Lord. That's what it's all about. That's why these shepherds are watching out for your souls. That's why Reagan and I try to preach the word. That's why the teachers are trying to feed you the word. So that we can all ultimately be in the presence of the Lord. That's where we're going. Why don't you go with us? If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, if you desire to obey the gospel and you believe that Jesus is the Christ, if you're willing to repent of your sins and follow by faith, we'll be glad to assist you and baptize you for the remission of those sins. If you're a child of God already and there's sin standing between you and your Lord, you're not alone in your spiritual war. You have soldiers of Christ who are around you. We will pray for you. We'll pray with you. We'll do the best we can to try to be there beside you in the trenches, helping you fight your battle to encourage you to stand in the evil day. If you're subject to the gospel call in any way, let us know while we stand and sing the songs that have been selected.